Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
And again, we're here with the trifecta plus Nicole. The original P.I.R. in the house. Actually, didn't you say that's the new movement we are now, Rich? We're Paranormal Investigator?
P.I.L.M.
Oh, guys. Sorry.
He's having the new blackberry ginger ale, which is fantastical.
Mm. I'm here for the cheese and crackers.
Delicious. It really is.
We have... we were talking about the Facebook. We lost 7 people on the... Just today alone.
It's weird.
I don't know what their new logarithm is doing.
On the Rum Investigators page?
Logarithm?
Algorithm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's go logarithm.
Same thing. Let me... I should probably tell people we got a show, so let me...
Do we have a show?
I think we're having a show right now.
I'm not really sure what the advantage for them is to mess with people's followers.
I don't know.
Is it to push you towards advertising?
It might be.
To get more followers? Because, I mean, obviously it's not that big of a deal, but a couple years ago, maybe even more actually, Facebook has been around a long time, there was this big push for everybody to get as many people as possible on your page. It was like the big running thing. I don't think people really care as much anymore.
No.
You know, because I think there's no big prize at the end of the tunnel.
No.
Whoever's got the most Facebook friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because now even if you got 10,000 or, you know, 100,000, whatever, you still put an ad on there to promote it. Facebook still only gonna let a few people see it. You know,
right.
So the number is just...
If anybody out there knows how Facebook works, please call in at...
1-888-429-5471. 1-888-429-5471.
And the reason we're talking about
and
Facebook,
we'll give you a Pikachu.
Is because we do our summer lamplight tours, and last year we had 400 or 500 followers on our Facebook page, and business was good. This year somehow our followers dropped down to like 10. And we are not getting any love. We don't know why the number keeps going up and down.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, Rich, back in November,
tell me.
I paid like the $65 for the advertising on Facebook for the estate sale page I created, guaranteed to reach 327,000 people, according to their thing. Guaranteed to have whatever likes. When it was over, I ended up with like 32 likes. It's like,
yeah, it's really bad. I mean,
well,
really
why did
is.
I pay this?
We don't have any. I mean, we have likes for the pizzeria, but it's nowhere near what some other people
but
have.
You know what they send you? Don't they send you some little ad thing in the corner?
Yeah.
Right here, boost your post.
No, that's for you to do it, but for the people,
Facebook
sends out, they send like a little. I never click on those things.
Do you know there's a separate app for Page Manager?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's separate from Facebook.
I use that for, it's much better than the regular,
I use that too.
So.
Although like I told you, as I was doing a little research there, Twitter is actually starting to outpace the Facebook as far as the younger generation.
You know why? Because Facebook is turning more of like, look what I did with my life. Here I'm vacationing here, here's the kids, here's me at the Def Leppard concert, that sort of thing. Twitter is actually the point where like, it's now built more for you want to get a message out, you want to tell a lot of people about something. Twitter's becoming a better platform to do that, where Facebook is, you know, is kind of like, I don't know, you follow people, but then you get so many followers, it just gets lost in your stream. And a lot of times, like, I have a lot of people that are friends and stuff, I don't follow them. Even though they're friends of mine, I turn to do not follow because I don't want to see all their stuff.
Right.
But Twitter, basically, when I mean, I don't know how many guys play with Twitter. I've been getting more and more into it. And, I mean, I see people put up stuff, and it reaches far, far more on Twitter now. And then you can put special promotions on Twitter and stuff like that. And Twitter doesn't screw around with who you reach. You reach who follows you. You know what I mean? Where Facebook's like, yeah, we wrote the algorithm that's going to mess with you. So it's much better. And I think LinkedIn, I've been experimenting more and more with LinkedIn. But I don't know if there's a real application for what we do on LinkedIn. It's more like a business networking kind of thing, you know? So I think Twitter is good for us. And I think the one that we really need to focus on is YouTube.
Yeah.
People want to see content. And you can share that content with Facebook and with Twitter. So if you use YouTube as a baseline and share it on everything else. That's the way.
I need Twitter classes because I don't know how to use
them. What, Nicole, has outpaced Twitter?
Pokemon Go, my favorite new game. I'm a big supporter.
We could do one with Stay Spooky. He almost looks like a punk, Pokemon. We could put him all over the place.
They have ghost Pokemon.
Do they?
They do.
Damn Pokemon.
Ghastly. They have a bunch of them.
Pokemon. Well, we should probably talk about something that's paranormal related.
Yeah.
Well,
the Pokemon ghost is paranormal related.
It is paranormal related.
Yeah, but our social media stuff is kind of like...
Yeah. Okay. Let's move forward.
Let me tell you what outpaced Twitter.
Oh, he's got notes.
Twitter. I recreated a MySpace page, actually, last week. Periscope.
That's part of Twitter.
Instagram.
Yep.
Snapchat. LinkedIn. And Tumblr, apparently, is gaining
Tumblr's
ground.
Like a blog.
Yeah.
Snapchat is weird because you get a Snapchat ID, and then you put stuff on there, but it's only there for a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and then it expires. So... To me, it's just like, why do I need Snapchat when you can just do the same thing on Twitter or Facebook?
And these four I've never heard of. There's Vine.
Oh, yeah, that's
have
a video.
Have you heard of Vine?
Mm-hmm.
There's Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
R-E-D-D-I-T. Okay, so apparently I'm the only stupid one here. So. No. Medium.
Have not heard of that one.
And then Blab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that one either.
Never heard of Medium. But Vine is like a social networking for videos.
6 seconds.
Yeah.
You get a 6-second video.
There's some people who've made it on television office and their stuff they did on Vine. But to be honest with you, I still think that YouTube reaches a bigger audience. I think as far as like advertising things. But, you know, once you get YouTube down and start really promoting videos there, then it's really nothing to switch over to Vine.
Yeah.
Well,
same thing.
The stuff that goes viral, like, did you see the lady there? She bought the Chewbacca face or whatever it was at Kohl's, and then, like, before the morning, she had, like, 10 million views.
Yeah.
And then, like, the people from Kohl's actually came and gave her, like, a mask for everyone in her family and, like, $2,000 in Kohl's cash and all this stuff. And they're like, please make another video with your whole family wearing the mask. And it's like...
Didn't Mark Zuckerberg meet her or something?
Did he? Wow.
Something. I don't know. Yeah, she got a lot of media attention. She was on, like, Good Morning America. Oh, yeah, I just went crazy.
And all she did was laugh. She, like, put the thing on and just laughed. Like,
America has a fascination with social media because we all want to basically tout our achievements and look how good I look. Look how nice car I have. This is how beautiful my family is. Look where I'm vacationing. All that kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, it really has... made people, like, I have a friend of mine I went to high school with that I lost track of. We had a band back in high school, and then he owns a software company in Raleigh. Does very well for himself. And, I mean, other than seeing him on Facebook, because I went to Raleigh for a conference, and I reached out to him on Facebook, and he's like, oh, let's get together. So I went down there, we had dinner, we got together, invited me to come down fishing and stuff. So, I mean, it is useful in certain things, but... But you do have to spend a lot of time with it. And I'm sorry, these things they call them smartphones, I think they're actually just making us dumber, to be quite honest with you, because we're becoming so reliant on them. But, I mean, think back 20 years ago. What if RIP wanted to get the word out to people? What would we do? Take out a billboard?
MySpace.
Posters in the library?
Posters,
I mean,
we hit the pavement, go to businesses, hang up posters.
Yeah. So there are some advantages to that. It's a network, you know, but now basically... People who really don't want to meet with people, who are maybe not good at meeting people, can now just do social media stuff.
Yeah.
No one would know the difference, you know? Anyways, switching back to the paranormal. I had an interesting chat with a guy today on the phone. His name is David Omen. And he owns a place called Omen House, which is in the Los Angeles area. It's just a short distance, I mean, walking distance, from the Sharon Tate House, where the murders were. You know, Charles Manson went in and murdered the actress and her husband or boyfriend and all that. The house has been featured on, got Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and Paranormal Witness and Paranormal Lockdown and It's one of the places that Zach Bacon's, you know, when he does the thing where he stays all night, after 3 hours he ran out of there. So, I mean, Hollywood Ghost Hunters were there, Kane Hodder, and then they investigated the place. So he called me today. He wants me to help him bring events there. You know, obviously, some of the media attention is kind of drowned out a little bit. So, you know, the local community is kind of like, yeah, I've been there, done it, you know. So now he wants to spread his reach out across state line, if you will, all the way to the East Coast. So, and he was telling me all kinds of things about stuff that was going on. And I looked at his YouTube page, and it showed pictures of one interesting one is looking up a staircase. He's got one of those staircases that goes up and around, like you see, like mm-hmm. in an apartment building. And up on the ceiling, there's a picture of a beautiful young woman's face up on the ceiling. Now, again, seeing it online and hoping it's truly legit, but then again, with the age of Photoshop, anything could be faked. But if it is legit, that's an amazing piece of evidence. And then there's other things where you see shadows walking and stuff like that. So he built the house himself. So he is under no circumstances am I leaving this place. I built this place. And I don't have ghosts run me out of it. He said no one's bothering or harming him or trying to scare him out of the property or anything. But it is quite actively haunted.
What was there before?
I don't know. I didn't have that detailed conversation with him. But here's another place that, and he reached out to me and said, if you guys want to work with me and get some events going, I mean, this is a pretty famous house. I mean, mm-hmm. Chris Fleming's done events there, Chris Moon's done events there, and stuff like that. So, and he called the Home Investigators of the Paranormal and asked us if we want to get involved. And I'm like, wow. So our reach is farther than, like, Buffalo Naval Yard, I guess. It's all the way out to Los Angeles. So
I will definitely go. And just the YouTube of me on the airplane from Albany to Los Angeles should get you your own show.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it'll be
not paranormal, but it'll be some kind of show on, I don't know what channel, actually.
How not to fly
Spike.
In a plane.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be bigger than the one that you took the picture of before. So, if you stay away from United, you won't have to do those prop jobs and jets. But those jets, those regional jets they call them, they go from like Syracuse to Detroit, you know, the hour and a half flights.
Mm-hmm.
They're still kind of small and kind of tight.
Yep.
Once again, I say when you can't stand up, it's called a missile.
It does feel like a missile with wings.
You know, Dave, you know, I take half of the upper compartment off with my head, and everybody just never lets me live it down.
Oh, those were some good times, Pete. I'll share.
I can't even explain the look on the stewardess's face when she came over asking me if I was all right. It's like, I just broke probably like $8,000 worth of plastic off their airplane. Hey, nothing up there.
The last two flights that I took, one going to Denver when I went out to do the Lumber Baron investigation, and another one I went to Vegas, both on Delta, had a problem with the auxiliary start of the airplane.
That's never good.
So we're waiting, and then like you can hear him trying to start the jet.
Oh, good
like,
God!
And I'm like, and the second time, I like, I know what it is. And Lane's looking at me, and she goes, "Are you pilot?" I go to the auxiliary start. I had the same problems 2 weeks ago when I flew back from Denver, and sure enough, that's what it was. And the mechanic had to come out and fix it. But it's interesting that how the airlines work, because they built in a buffer of time in there. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, oh my God, if we're supposed to leave at 11:06. If we don't leave at 11:06, we're not going to get there at 12:15, which is our arrival time. Actually, the flight is like much, much shorter, but they build all that delay in and stuff like that. We had a mechanic on there, and he was dinking around, and he had paperwork, and he came back. We heard the airplane start a couple more times. It didn't start. And finally, they got it started, and they said, we'll take care of it when we get to the destination airport. I'm like, okay.
How about now?
All I need to do is start the airplane once. That's all it does.
Oh, okay.
Unless it goes out in the air and then...
So, but after all those delays, I still made it to the destination airport 5 minutes early.
Wow.
So, then I got thinking to myself, well, damn, if it's 6 o'clock flight, I could probably have been here by 7 and still made the flight and got there on time. So why do we have to have this, all this, you know, it's ridiculous. But that's traffic. Anyways.
And then they overbooked the flight by like 30 people. It's like... I don't get it. I don't like flying. I'm not going to hide it.
There's an algorithm they use.
They probably do.
They do. It's all computerized now. You talk to the flight attendant, even when we call the Delta rep, they don't know what to do. They're like, it's out of our hands. We, you know, it's a program that does it, and we can't get in and do anything.
Just show up. Maybe there's a seat for you.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Well, it's not maybe there's a seat for me. I'm on vacation from work. Either it is or it isn't. I'm not.
Yeah, that is. So, want to hear something really interesting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll shut up for the remainder of the show.
No, keep talking.
So I told you about the Omen House, right?
Mm-hmm.
Omen, like O-M-E-N?
Not like Damien the Omen, but Oman. Oman, like O-M-A-N, I believe. Anyways.
Dinner's on range.
So we investigated the Lumber Baron mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, put pictures on. Like,
it was the Omen House. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It had an auto launch video.
But I put on my Ghost Agent Facebook page, which I have like 35 likes. So, and I'm fine with that. So anyways.
Yes, but you consort with those nasty people.
I do.
I'm sorry.
I do. So, and, you know, we talked about being around negative stuff before. And, I mean, even some of the homes we did where everyone was so negative, I never felt the presence of anything like really bad. You know, you get like a weird, you know, energy pockets and stuff like that, but most of that's permanent.
Right.
But this place, you go into one room and you could feel like just a very cold, like stifling energy. Like you just wanted to like just move like really slow. It was just very hard to explain. Very kind of like, you know, you're in there and you're uncomfortable, you're twitching and you're like, you know, like this. That kind of, it's just, it's weird. Yet it's cold at the same time. And it didn't affect everyone, only a few people. And some people are sitting there and they're like, oh, this is great. You know, I don't feel anything. You know, people are like, you know, freezing to death. What's going on? So after I did a spirit box session there. I was told probably not to do a spirit box session in there because whatever they did, they riled everything up
mm-hmm.
using Chris's spirit box. So I decided to use my spirit box. Okay? And so, I brought my little SB7, little tiny one. So, you know, doing my little thing, asking questions, and I had some people that were part of the event. They want to be in there. It was a dark room. They got their cameras on watching me. And I'm going through it, and I didn't have an audio recorder or anything. That was up in the back upstairs. So I'm asking questions and stuff, and all of a sudden it just goes, stops. It goes, Rich. And it starts going, and I'm like, all the chills go, like right now, you see all the hair starts standing on there? I'm like, yes. Then it goes, stops. He goes, F you.
Oh.
And I'm like, whoa, okay.
Nice.
I was like, that was probably the first time that someone called me by name and then cursed me. You know, other than Fulton, they said, Fulton Joe Rich. But that was really a curse. That was a threat.
Yeah.
This was just a curse. I mean, there was really no threat behind
it. Both are still dead.
Yeah. But right after that is when we took that picture that I have of one of the black figure that's standing outside of the door,
mm-hmm.
where it looks like it's got like a, almost like a pointed hat or head. But you can see the legs and one of the arms. And in that room when I was doing the spirit box session, well, actually, I think it was Chris was doing the spirit box session too. We had similar pictures. The one that Chris, we blew up with Chris's, we showed that, like, that figure, that whatever it was, like an imp or something. And he had, like, halos up above its head and halos in his hand, like round lights. It was really, really weird. Then, to make things even weirder, afterwards, some of the people were doing EVP sessions that were staying in that room. And when they basically listened back to the recordings, they had pig squealing, a lot of pig squealing, and then they had goats. Now, this is in a residential downtown neighborhood, and there's no farm animals there, okay? What was interesting, though, there is a concrete statue of a pig out on the lawn on that side of the building. Mm-hmm. It's a big pig. So I did a little research. I asked around and stuff like that, and some people told me, and again, this is just hearsay, that if you hear animal noise, especially swine, that it's demonic. I'm like, well, why would a demon squeal like a pig and make goat noises? That I don't understand. What they were saying.
The goat would definitely be demonic. The Baphomet or whatever the
animals of sacrifice.
Symbol
pigs
is there.
And goats used to be sacrificed in the name of Satan. opinions too, you know. So that was by far the weirdest case. And of course, when I went back to Chris's house, I was staying in his house, sleeping in his basement, which is completely dark, and he had three cats. So I'd be laying down there, and all of a sudden the bed would lift up. There's a cat come walking over to the next day. And then of course he tells me the last, you know, the morning of the last day I'm there, he goes, "Did you meet our visitor?" I'm like, "Oh, the cats? Yeah." "No, the lady that lives down there." I go, "You're telling me this now?" He goes, "Yeah, we picked her up from the Molly Brown house, and she's been here ever since. We'll see her once in a while peek around the corner of the basement stairway." I'm like, "Well, don't invite me back, because I ain't going back down there and sleep again."
That's,
you know?
Great.
Did you see her?
That's why we didn't tell you. No, I didn't see her. I didn't feel anything weird down in the basement. So, I don't know. But what would you like to do if somebody said, "Okay, go down and sleep in the basement"? I mean, it's a nice basement. It was all fixed up. And then told you that there's something down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to sleep like with one eye open and only when the light comes out. You know? So.
Some yeah. people live for that, though. It's like their biggest, "Oh, I want to be there with." No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, I'm wiser to the fact that I don't know exactly what's going to be there with me. My luck is not going to be some friendly old lady. "Hello, Rachel." It's going to be like, "Wah."
Yeah.
Did you see The Conjuring 2?
Yep.
What'd you think?
I mean, for scare value, it had its startle moments.
Yeah,
which,
exactly.
Which was good. I enjoyed that. What I didn't like was, after researching it, which I always do after a movie, realizing how inaccurate it was to the actual case.
Don't research it, Dave. It takes for the entertainment value.
Well, yeah,
you're going to find that.
I would watch the movie again because it was a very good movie, but they portrayed it as if it were Ed and Lorraine's case that they did. And in reality, they were there in England for that case for one day. And mm-hmm. in talking to the other people that were in the house, the Warrens didn't really get along with anybody. They were very condescending and actually said, "There's nothing here worth their while," and they left.
Right.
So then watching the movie, you know, the movie spins at 180 degrees.
"Oh, she's so caring for the children. Oh,
yep.
And we
like
have
that
to go back for the kids."
They were instrumental in the safety of the family and the resolution of the case. And that wasn't really the case.
Now, see, I agree with him. I haven't gone to research any of it because I know it's going to spoil it. But I did talk to John Zappas about a few of the things. First of all, the girl didn't die in the chair.
Right.
And that was a huge inaccuracy. Trying to do this without any, like, you know, spoilers.
Yeah.
But again, what Dave said, because I know how he does his research, and confidently what he says is true, and what John tells me is true, and see it as a horror movie.
That's,
you know,
it.
And it is very well done as a horror movie.
It's not a documentary.
No. Suspenseful, scary. There's stuff you're going to be like,
yeah.
You know what's coming. It's like, you know.
And the demon that's in it.
That was creepy.
The
one of the creepiest demons I've ever seen.
Had nothing to do with the case. The actual case file of that family had nothing to do with the demon. It did have to do with the gentleman who was in the house who had died in the chair.
Yeah.
That was the basis of the case. They needed the demon to make a correlation between the first Conjuring and the second Conjuring.
Mm.
That was the purpose.
And demon. They needed it for the thing about Amityville.
Yes, and the tie in Amityville.
Yes.
Yep.
So, again, did you see The Conjuring, the first one, when Ed and Lorraine were speaking at the college and they panned out in the audience?
Yeah.
It was
Lorraine
Warren sitting
right
there.
Yeah.
Was she in the second one?
No.
I don't remember seeing her.
I haven't seen it yet, but I saw the first one, but I haven't seen
it. I didn't see her in the first one. I actually got it on iTunes, and then I was watching it.
Oh, you didn't see her?
And then I saw it that time.
No.
I like both movies. To me, they're entertaining. I like the quality, how they're shot. Again, I look at it as nothing more than like a horror movie, but it's just that kind of stuff to me creeps me out more so than like slashers and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
And it's just been way overdone.
Yeah.
The Exorcist was by far one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Oh,
hands
yeah.
down.
16 years old, I had to walk like a mile home.
I gotta say, the Poltergeist. I'm sorry, Poltergeist screwed me up for a while.
Poltergeist is scary?
I mean, because I've seen it at such an age that you're not supposed to watch movies like that.
A little kid me saw?
Yeah, maybe six.
Oh, yeah. If you were like 18, I was like, what?
Whenever that was the first run on HBO, that was when I seen it. So whenever that came out.
HBO used to be awesome. They used to have all the great horror movies, Exorcist.
Not so much anymore, though.
I subscribe to it because they give it to me free subscription every time I call Time Lord, change my thing, and they try to keep me. And then I never watch it. You know, I never, ever watch it. I recorded Star Trek, the last Star Trek movie. I started 7 times, got 5 minutes into it. When Kirk is running, he's going to jump off the cliff. He's being chased by the white people there, whatever it is. And that's as far as I would go.
It gets a lot better. I've argued with Steve. Steve doesn't like it, but I'm like, you got to watch it. I think it's because of the alternate universe.
Okay.
And by the way, if you guys want to go next Friday, I'm going to see the I'm taking work off. I'm going to watch it.
Is that when it comes out?
The 22nd.
It does?
Yeah.
Oh, why did I think it was 2 months away?
No.
What, the
we're
new
finally
Star Trek?
There. Yeah. That's why they moved Ghostbusters up a week, not to go out with Star Trek.
I'm going to see that opening night Thursday.
I love Star Trek. Speaking of Star Trek and spaceships and stuff, I was doing a little bit of reading today online, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with the theoretical physicist Machio Kiku.
We had lunch the other day. How's he doing? Machu Picchu.
No, not there. He's the long hair. He's got long gray hair. Asian theoretical physicist.
Oh,
he
wrote 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
Yeah, that was the guy he had lunch with.
Yeah. Anyway. So
I know who he is.
This guy's on TV all the time, and he's like a Bill Nye the Science Guy type thing. He's a very public personality. And he was speaking out publicly about the existence of an organized space colony that the aliens have on the far side of the moon, that it was spotted and discovered, and he explained all the significance of why that is completely viable, plausible, and why it actually exists. Now, they think they found this space colony on the dark side of the moon probably like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even more, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it just kind of died off. And then this physicist started speaking out about it recently, about how extraterrestrials do exist, how there are UFOs, how in the astronomical and physicist field and community, they've spotted them, they have it documented, all of the biological reasons why it's not only plausible, but why they do exist. So I thought that was kind of unique that a very public physicist personality came out and spoke in favor of this.
Does he correlate them to the recent politicians? I'm saying that because that's an ongoing conspiracy theory that most of this New World Order is through the Greys.
He didn't say anything about that. However, he did recently put out another video about democracy and how it correlates to different countries where the U.S. is trying to impose democracy, and how that's not necessarily it's a very outspoken person.
That's interesting. I believe it.
I mean, years ago, what was it, Apollo 19? Was that the movie? What was the Apollo that apparently 13? The secret mission that went up there?
Oh.
And that was the last Apollo mission. And basically, they were told never to come back.
I don't know, but basically all the Apollo missions, the astronauts all have publicly come out in the last 15 years saying that they had contact, sightings, all sorts of weird stuff.
And if you see some of them pictures, you've seen like the tunnels and what else was it on the moon? Like the strip mining and all this other stuff. And it's like,
John Glenn has been talking about it for years. He has a very famous interview on 2020 where somebody asked him about the possibility of life out there. And he said, well, now we're, 30, 40, 50 years past when we actually did this. The information's declassified. We did have contact with, some kind of spaceship in simultaneous orbit. And we had to avoid them. And NASA advised us to make corrections and avoid contact. And
really?
So, I mean, these are astronauts, like known people.
Well, Neil Armstrong's vocal about that, and then they just wrote him off as a kook later in life, like, oh, it must be some kind of space dementia or thing. But he was actually the one who said that quote unquote Santa Claus was real, so we're assuming Santa Claus meant them people.
Why do you think that it's something that they don't want to come out publicly? Why do you think that?
Religion. I think that was the biggest thing in the 1950s was religion. that that would destroy religion overnight. In theory, it doesn't. At least that's my take on it, because you're brought up with the way that there's a specific being that you can't see that rules the entire universe. And we're pretty much the only ones created in his image, and now all of a sudden, here's an entire race of people from another planet that are alive. So are they part of the host? Are they part of...
Now, here's another really unique perspective on this from our friend physicist, Machu Kiku. He also had, as part of that interview, questions relating to the existence of God, religion, of all that stuff. And not to get into any kind of a big religious discussion. Hold on. Sorry if this is making noise. Not to get into any kind of a major religious discussion or anything, but he did say that all religion and the existence of God and all this stuff goes back to quantum mechanics. And he said, in quantum physics, there's a theory called Schrodinger's cat, where there's a cat in a box, and the cat is both alive and dead at the same time, and you can't tell if it's truly alive or dead until you take the lid off the box and you see the cat or measure it. And he said that if indeed there is some consciousness that's opening the lid of the box to see if it's alive or dead, what does that say about human consciousness? Because at a much grander level, the human being could be the cat in the box, the earth being the box. Who is the one taking the lid off the box to see if we are alive or dead? Does consciousness predate human existence, or does consciousness exist as a result of humans' existence? So his postulate was that no matter what, there has to be some kind of greater being out there to keep this set of calculations in check. And he said it could be God, it could be, you know, any of the number of deities that exist out there.
Baron von Munchausen.
Right. He said it could be an alien civilization, it could be a higher order of higher dimensional beings. He said something has to exist, though, to keep everything balanced. So
Tesla always said, it's the vibration, baby. It's the vibration. Maybe not in those words, but that's...
But close.
Yeah, close.
Oh, I have those own philosophical talks with myself in my own mind about that all the time, trying to figure out the God existence, spiritual, paranormal realm. Like the other day when I was in the bathroom, what the hell was I talking to myself about? What we think we're talking with, maybe demonic entities, maybe they're cavemen, and they have no way of, like, communicating rationally with us, because their mindset wouldn't remotely recognize anything other than bashing a stegosaurus's brain in with a rock. I mean,
are you trying to make a comparison between intellectual capacity between modern day humans and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you're not literally talking about a ghost being a caveman. You're talking about a disconnect.
Well, why are they scared of Jesus? Ooh, Jesus.
Well, yeah, like a spirit of the caveman would not be able to communicate with us as a paranormal investigator.
So
other
you are
than,
talking about a caveman.
Yeah, like a physical 100,000-year-old...
Yeah.
Like, so other than stab you with a spear, what would he understand that?
Okay, I get it. I don't know how... Yeah, okay. I got it.
Look at the size of a dinosaur. The spirit energy them things must have, Ming.
Have we ever tried to summon a dinosaur?
No, but we can. We have the portal.
If there's any dinosaurs present.
Something falls right through this. Megalodon. I do want to see Sharknado.
It might show up in Boonville. It might show up in Boonville.
Oh, yes, they did find a dinosaur.
They all die in Boonville.
Oh, God. That's funny.
It's a fascinating quest, but... As I started writing a book, and then I stopped, because I'm like, if I actually have this published, the government will kill me. So I stopped writing it, but the man strives to be ruled, and I think once you add in aliens, that screws up that entire equation, like David's saying, there's a mathematical order to whatever we're doing, so now you're influencing from the outside, now you're dealing with a variable you don't know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Is it like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? They're just going to put explosives all around the planet and just make way for the superhighway, or is it just?
One never knows.
Or if you've seen the horrible reboot of Independence Day, you know how that ends.
Did you see that movie?
Yes. I liked that movie. It was good.
You saw it?
I saw it.
You saw the reboot?
Yeah.
And it was
Thank
good?
God for Judd Hirsch.
It was interesting.
As good as the first one?
No.
Not even close.
Not even close.
There was a guy in the back of the theater who was literally screaming and rooting and commentary on everything.
Oh, God.
You know, he was like 300 pounds and 30-something years old. Yep, he was a diehard of the original one.
But see, to me, that was all lacking in this. It didn't have those moments where it got you, we're going to kick some alien butt! It's just like, oh my God, I'm out of popcorn. Can this end anytime soon? Like, why did you have to ruin this? All right, I read it today. It's done with. I'm done with Hollywood, unless you're going to give me a TV show or a movie. I'm done with you. They're remaking The Lost Boys with an all-female cast. How the hell can you be The Lost Boys then? Unless they're all transgender, I don't know how you would make The Lost Boys with an all-female cast.
One never knows these days.
Oh, dear.
Stop remaking the 80s. They sucked when we lived through it the first time.
Amen to that.
The only good thing about it was the 12 movies that were good. And that dinosaur show that they used to have on TV Friday nights.
Yeah.
Right after Sledgehammer. No, but that was the only good thing about the 80s.
It was called Dinosaur, wasn't it?
Was it Dinosaur?
Yeah.
It was The Family.
I'm the Baby.
I spent my teenage years in the 80s. I thought it was great.
I like 80 movies. I didn't like them too much then.
All we did was drink, party, chase girls, and go to concerts.
And now I just had a
10
mental...
10 years. The 90s hit, I was like, thank God it's over.
I just had a mental picture of Rich with the 1980s shorts on.
I had a mullet, too.
A.K.A.
Did you have a mullet?
Oh, I had the white Nike high-top sneakers with the Velcro strap.
Brian had a mullet. Now that, you know, he grew up in the 80s. He had a mullet, too.
Van Halen t-shirt on.
I grew up in the 80s and did not have a mullet, ever.
Yeah. Business in the front and party in the
Actually,
back.
Actually, my hair right now is putting me in hippie class, but...
Brian's mother showed me a picture of him. And I go, who's that? She goes, what do you think it is? I go, I have no idea who that is. She goes, that's Brian. I'm like, no. Mullet.
Oh, man. Boy.
We all did it.
I'm like, okay, bye. No.
Let's not say we all did it. Some of us grew up in a somewhat military household, even though we weren't in the military.
This is great because there was really nothing that was like, the world was kind of at peace. You know what I mean? There was really nothing that was like, everyone was all tense about and stuff. Like now, Christ, with the Black Lives Matter and the shootings and, you know, the Russia and it's just China poking their head up. And there's just so much tension going on. But then again, we didn't really know everything was going on because we didn't have Facebook. And stuff.
Yeah, that's very true.
If you didn't watch NBC Nightly News, you didn't know what the hell, or read the OD. You really didn't know. And then when we were teenagers, not much of really watched television at all, or read the paper.
I mean, nobody cared.
We read books and stuff, but we just didn't, there was no urgency to be in touch with current events, you know, because there was so much going on in our culture, like music and all that kind of stuff, so.
MTV.
MTV was huge, yeah. Well, MTV News would come on, but that wouldn't really say anything other than the lead singer Van Halen broke his leg. Information coming forward, you know, that's about it.
So. It's like in-your-face media. It's live stream, it's interface conference. Now everybody's aware of what's going on, but a lot of the stuff that's been going on has been going on for a long time. It's just...
Computers were kind of terrified. Like in their infancy stage, and people weren't so high-strung. I think technology, though, offers wonderful benefits to us, to the medical world, to us, to communicate and everything else. I still think it basically creates more stress for people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, when I had jobs, right, I wasn't on a computer all the time. I wasn't half as stressed as I'm like this all day long, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It really does. And then you go home and you can't, because now you got this. And then if you put that down, you got to go pick up your iPad. And it's just like, where does it end? You know, I found myself at days, I'm like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Enough, yeah.
So you're telling me there's videos that are 6 seconds. So that's pretty much feeding... ADD, then, people's attention deficit disorder.
Probably.
So we're growing up generations of people that if you don't capture their imagination for 6 seconds...
You're done.
you're done, which means how do they concentrate on anything in life after 6 seconds? It's like, all right, I don't want to poop anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I mean, next.
Think of it.
Swipe left, swipe right, whatever.
All this social media and stuff, how many people were shut-ins? They really didn't know how to fit in, make friends and all that. They get picked on whatever, go home. They didn't go and participate or go and do anything now.
Mm-hmm.
There was no outlet for them. You know, now they can go home, get on the computer. They can basically find people like them. You know what I mean? And it's, I think it's huge for people that have that kind of socialization.
That's just like with the Pokemon Go.
Like all socialization skills. You know, that kind of stuff. It really helps people. I know a lot of people who were like, God, back in the 80s, like, they wouldn't go anywhere. They were scared. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to. Got picked on so they no one liked them, they just never did anything.
If you,
that's horrible.
If you go to Facebook and you type in Pokemon Go and you go to latest, anybody who's talking about Pokemon Go, their comment will pop up. It'll pop up. I don't know if you've seen that. I can't even tell you how many comments I've seen. I play video games, but now because this is something that you actually have to physically leave your house to go play, how many, I'm shy, I'm a shut-in, I don't really talk to people, I'm out, I'm talking to people, meeting new friends.
Getting exercise.
Yeah. Getting exercise. I walked 4 miles last night, I had to have walked 4 miles, if not more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome because...
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just think of all that kind of stuff that people know.
There's a series of studies that were published last year about adult onset ADD and how the prevalence and the ever-increasing availability of technology and media and pushed information is causing this phenomenon where adults who grew up perfectly fine are suddenly experiencing ADD-like symptoms. And the prescription of ADD medication to adults has skyrocketed in the last, 8 to 10 years as a result of the proliferance of this technology.
Gosh.
It's weird. I mean, it's causing physiological symptoms in people.
Well, plus the nirvana population has grown, because back in the 80s, you were a nerd. It was, you picked on, and it was just, now they rule.
Mm-hmm.
They freaking rule the world. A different culture, you know? Now it's like, it's hip, it's
gamers.
Cool, it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To be a nerd. I don't even know where that word came from, to be going honest with you, but... I know, it's just technology's really changed things. It's, I think it's great, don't get me wrong, it is what it is, I'm not gonna buck it.
See, David and I didn't have bullying problems, we had Grandpa. I mean, I'll never forget the day, it was like fifth grade, he literally cut the bus off, ran him off the road, went on the bus with the tire iron and started threatening the bus driver. After that, nobody ever messed with me in school. It's like, oh my God, he's got the mafia grandfather over there. It's that knot. Leave Pete alone. He's going to kill us.
Yeah, and that's changed now, too. I mean, now with all the advent of all this, so has society changed and technology changed now. If he did that, they would have. He'd be serving 25 years of life.
But then again, Pete was in a full body cast at the time.
That's true.
So.
I'm pretty sure, Rich, the full quart bottle of whiskey that would fit in the glove box, when you could actually fit a full quart bottle of whiskey in the glove box, would have got you arrested today.
Yeah.
It's
but see, they were never drunk in our day. They were always
functional
sober. It's just because they were drinking from 8 in the morning right through they went to bed at night. They were never drunk. I don't ever remember them violent or screaming or mean or just...
No,
it was mean. That was from the
just
diabetes.
Happy drinking. I mean, it makes them happy. It takes the edge.
It's part of the Italian culture.
I'm a 7-year old in a bar, and I'm making mixed drinks for people. I see that flying today, too. Go get Uncle Joe beer. Okay.
Even the paranormal's changed since then. I mean, there's so little people involved in it. They're kind of like freaks. They didn't a lot of people know that what they did. You know, it was hush hush. And they use tape recorders, psychic photography, reel-to-reel. And now, basically, since... I'm really going to point it out as the advent of Ghost Hunters, the TV show. All of a sudden, it's like, boom, everyone's a paranormal investigator. Man, there was thousands of paranormal groups just popped up in New York State alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to Lilydale, and there was just, literally... counted, 5 dozen paranormal groups.
All different shirts.
They're gangs. Yep. You know, it's not they're going to be out rumbling and stuff.
There's a black shirt, there's a gray shirt, there's a black shirt.
Yeah.
There's an orange shirt, yellow shirt, black shirt.
Like an Anchorman. Let's do this. You dirtbags have even in third place. Big fight. But yeah, and then all of a sudden there was a huge explosion, and then all of a sudden now it's just like the last time, which was Libby, I mean 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't see like anyone with prevalent colors representing their paranormal group. There were a few in there, but they were kind of like much lower key now, you know. And I mean, what about all the stuff that people are finding now? Is it just happened that it's always been there and now we're finding it because of the equipment, more people doing it? You think that's what it is? Or
could be. It could be fabricated because people just want the attention.
Well, we know some of it, or a portion of it's got
sensationalized claims. Yeah. Everything's a ghost now.
Yeah.
Or a demon.
I can't find it, but John Zaffis had a very good article on his webpage last week about that. And basically, it was about, did we wear the ghosts out?
Yeah.
Because it's like, not only has there been like a massive decline in teams, like you're mentioning, it's like there's also been a massive decline in activity.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Holbert House.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That was like an ice cold reception from this Holbert House.
We're all sitting there.
And I don't mean the people that work there, but I mean essentially the activity. The door slammed on me, but I can almost make that happen just about every time. But it's after it happens once or twice, big deal.
It's a door.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, there was really, I mean,
no feelings,
nothing.
Nothing. It was
first couple times I walked around, I was like, oh my God, this place is electric.
And that's the place we've been to about 20 times that has had off the chart activity like all 20 times. And
I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. Hello, anybody here?
And really, I guess if they are energy and they need to be recharged, maybe group after group, week after week, maybe that really is just.
Yeah, but she doesn't want a lot of groups up there. But I just think after we did that, it's almost like we did that one last big Zaffis event we did, where we did the deliverance of the little girl.
Yeah.
And everything else after that, it's just like, break out.
Quiet.
Yeah, it just became very calm, very subtle. And I mean, there's been somebody died there too, didn't they?
Since there,
yeah.
The gentleman who lived there for how many ever years? 30 years.
Right.
We almost went through his floor. Well, I almost went through the floor in his room.
That was sketchy.
No, it's safe.
The floor's like, oh, geez.
That sheet of plywood will hold you? No.
I wish somebody could live like that in that one room.
Afterlife, almost.
So we should probably mention in our last like 5 minutes here, 5-6 minutes, we got a poop load of stuff we've been working on, setting up events.
Mm-hmm.
Events.
Oh yeah.
We got a couple 2-3 on the hook.
So what do we have? We have the Paranormal Coffee Talk. That's the closest one, right?
Yes, that'll be July 26th.
Last Tuesday of the month.
That's Tuesday.
6 o'clock. The shops.
The next show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks from today.
We'll live broadcast, live stream. Maybe I'll have Periscope up by then. Maybe we'll send you 106-minute video clips or 6-second video clips.
Vines.
Fine, yeah, Periscope.
I'll give you vines.
Lots of vines. Not the licorice either.
Oh, good Lord. And then we have the Old Knox Mansion in Johnstown, New York, which is out near Gloversville, Amsterdam. That'll be August 13th. The tickets are already moving like hotcakes, as we expected. That's an incredible place.
It is a public presentation, investigation.
And dinner.
Dinner.
That dinner buffet was just
phenomenal place, phenomenal night.
And then they got them creepy paintings on the wall where the eyes follow you no matter where you're at. They just look at you.
Isn't this the one where Dan got scratched?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Interesting.
Where they have the indoor arboretum with the gigantic fountain thing in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Of it. Beautiful.
That was pretty.
Well, Rich wouldn't know because we kept him shoved in the closet the entire night in a 90-degree day.
And
just said, investigate
it.
Near.
Mm-hmm.
That room was hot. It was really hot out there.
I'm being sarcastic with that, but there was like, well, there was a handicapped kid they kept, not
yeah.
chained up in there, right? But they made him live there or her.
Yeah,
like,
we actually got our hands and knees through a little small door, walked down almost like the soffits, on the inside of the soffits down through the insulation, and came to a room with just a chair sitting in it, you know, and of course we had to crawl over the trusses and stuff, and then go figure out, we found that there was an entrance out of the bedroom that you just popped up and walked right in, and we crawled through the insulation, batshit and everything else. But it was probably one of the most creepiest discoveries I think I've ever found, but I don't know, it's an interesting place to say the least. They've had some issues there after their investigation, and they have well, some interesting paranormal activity going on. So
that's where I learned they have a what they believe a 500 or 600 year old fireplace there that was brought over from Italy.
Germany.
No, it was Italy.
Piece by piece.
We had Alex talking to it in Italian, and there was some weird chitter chatter back and forth. And me being the jocular kind, I sort of said the V word, which is equal to the F word in English. And next thing I know, something just grabbed me right by my leg and started squeezing, and I'm like, yep, it's Italian.
That was a beautiful fireplace.
That was gorgeous. Was it marble?
Some kind of white something, yeah. Volcanic something, I think she said. But the funny part was the kid sitting right next to me. I didn't jump or scream or say that anything was squeezing my leg. The kid said, oh, my God, it's so cold right next to us. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's trying to rip me apart. So I'm going to put that to the test when I go back. Now we got the portal. We'll really rip that open. But,
Dear Lord. I'll turn that place into Amityville.
And then we got Return to Rutgers, part...
Three, four.
How many movies has Jason Voorhees had?
Oh, gosh.
You we love the Rutgers.
A Nightmare on Rutgers. Ooh, maybe we should call it that.
Nightmare on Rutgers Street.
Yeah. Except we're going to do something a little bit different this year. We all chatted about this at our last meeting.
We're going to strip?
No.
Yeah.
No. Mike will.
Oh, good Lord.
You can't get more... Sorry.
What we'll do this year is we'll do a... we're going to do an investigation, by the way. Just a team. It's going to go in a week or two beforehand. On, maybe a Thursday night or something. We'll do an investigation, try to get some more evidence. Then at the event, we'll just do a presentation on our evidence. We'll do a Q&A. We'll talk a little bit about the history of the place and kind of give them almost like a debriefing of this place and what we found and what they could expect. So when they do their investigation, there's certain names they know of or certain places they can go to so they can come better at the investigation. Then what we'll do is we'll have the wonderful food that the people lay out for us at the landmark.
Mm-hmm.
We'll investigate, and then we'll do a wrap-up like we did at Fulton County Museum, which I thought worked out really well.
I thought it did, too.
People came in, they told us all the stuff that was going on, and that's where really you find stuff, you know, where somebody brings something to you and say, look what I caught. Because to be honest with you, some of these events, I bring all my equipment, but most of the time, I'm not even investigating. I'm just like answering questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, Rich, come here. So, I mean, it's like I don't really have a chance to set up and do anything. But, you know, hopefully we'll get some stuff out of there. And maybe what we can do then is set up a page for it or something on Facebook, and we can put the evidence.
We will follow through this time.
Yes.
So, everyone come. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
And that should sell out, too, because we do pretty good with that one most of the time. And this is a little earlier this year, so it should be in a dead time. No,
and we're not promoting our events so far in advance because we promote them 3 months out, which used to be kind of like the standard footprint. 3 months or forget it. But now it's like we do 3 months. The first 2 months, we've been nothing. No one buys a ticket.
All right.
You know, and then the last 30 days, they start filtering a little bit at a time. I just think people in this area where we live are just kind of, I don't know, I think it's tough to make a living around here, and people try to hold on to the money to the very end and, you know,
mm-hmm.
see what other decisions or opportunities will come for them and then make their move. Of course, we'll always have the diehards, like Dangerous Dan and them. So.
Always at every single one.
We're awesome.
I'll bring an antipasto.
Yes.
Speaking of antipasto, do you know that that's a funeral food?
Is it really?
An old Italian custom was that if a woman's husband died, they weren't allowed to cause a fire or create a fire for a year following his death, so therefore they weren't allowed to cook, so the only thing they were allowed to have were dried meats and vegetables, hence the antipasto. So next time you're at the Olive Garden munching away on your antipasto,
who died?
No, you're eating funeral food.
That's weird.
I didn't know that.
No fire for a year.
And no Paranormal Investigator Radio for 2 more weeks. So for our 3 listeners and that gentleman, what's his name, Dave?
Yep.
We love you all.
Thank you for tuning in.
Stay safe.
Stay spooky.
Bye, Pokemon.
That's right.
joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.